This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You stop with the f***ing booing.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Friday living here on Overdrive. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan around the table. John Cooper, the head coach of the Lightning, will join us in about 5 minutes. We do not make that exception very often.
No.
We rarely have guests join us at all in the 4 p.m.
Yeah,
hour.
The 4 p.m. hour is usually for us to, I mean, we probably should, because some of the things that we do speak about in the 4 o'clock hour.
We generally get ourselves into a hole from 4 to 4:30.
And then all of a sudden, we're trying to dig out. And then if we bring it up in the 5 o'clock hour, people who are listening or newer listeners in that hour are saying, why the hell are these guys talking about men's diapers and all of this other stuff?
So 30-year-old basketball players.
Exactly. All this ridiculous things that we do talk about. So, you know what? Let's just be, you want to be a pro right from...
We're going to change the rhythm a little bit.
A little bit of a rhythm?
Yeah, John Cooper will join us in about 5 minutes. But before we get to that, we'll get some ridiculousness out of the gate.
Okay.
It's always good to kick off the show with a text from a listener. DJ was texting in. He sent this in about 2 minutes ago. He said, hey, boys, quick Overdrive drinking game for those at home starting the week weekend off a little bit earlier. Take one drink when these things are said or done. Noodles says, quote, that's the thing.
Okay.
Hayes calls out a baby gorilla. O-Dog does a voice or references his days in the show. Bonus, couple drinks when you hear O-Dog's trampoline commercial.
Ooh.
So DJ's going to kick off the weekend with the Overdrive drinking game right out of the gate. So we support that. Go
as
ahead.
As long as he keeps it in moderation. That's the thing.
Depends on what he's drinking.
You have to be responsible. You have to be responsible.
If he takes a shot of vodka every time one of those five things happen, he's going to be in trouble pretty quickly.
You'll be in a lot of trouble.
If it's a drink of beer, then you'll be all right.
And you may wake up in a bit of a dark place, like I happened to do last night, because I tried to grind through the double OT of that Hawks-Blues game.
Couldn't do it?
No, I made the rookie move. What I find... I like to do is when it's going overtime, if it's a late game, I'll go up to bed, right? So I'll get ready and I'll get into bed, then I'll watch the game there. I decided, you know what? I'm going to stay downstairs on the couch.
Yeah. Chicago corn?
I had the Chicago
Did
popcorn
you?
Going last night.
Dude, I called him a week and a half ago and he had the corn going. It was a clinic.
Well, the corn is the best.
It's the best
cheese,
popcorn.
Half caramel, and you were doing work.
The problem is I don't eat them together.
Dude,
come on, man.
I eat the caramel, and then I eat the cheese.
What's wrong with you?
That is offside.
That defeats the whole purpose of Chicago popcorn. You're not eating Chicago popcorn, then.
I am.
No, you're not.
But I enjoy the flavor of one and then the flavor of the other.
You've got to mash.
You don't mash.
You have to mash.
How do you mash? I mean, you just grab away. But for me, I always just pick, like, I'll pick three or four of the cheese and eat them, and then I'll pick three or four of the caramel.
You're deranged. You are deranged.
No, it's not. That's better. That's, to me, that's how you work things. I'm a popcorn specialist. You guys know this. I eat movie popcorn 3 times a week. And we have a movie popcorn machine at our house. But when you go to Costco and get those big bags, that's the good stuff. The stuff at Costco.
That's the stuff Chicago.
Yeah, not the imitation stuff that you're buying at the
no.
You make it in Sarnia and ship it to Costco and you think it's from Chicago.
I'm telling you, it's packaged right outside of Chicago, somewhere in Illinois.
It is.
Town where Steve Bartman probably currently lives and has been living for the past 15 years.
He's the guy bagging it.
He might be bagging it with a mask on.
But that's, I separate.
That drives me nuts, actually, that you're admitting to this publicly, because then you're not eating Chicago popcorn. You're eating two types of popcorn simultaneously, but you're not actually indulging in Chicago popcorn. And I take umbrage with that as a big supporter.
I really do. To that.
I'm offended by that. I'm offended by that kind of routine.
All right. Well, I'll smarten up then, because there are two massive bags underneath our counter at my house. I was going to dive into one tonight. So I'll try the mixing, but I have to be honest. I feel like I'm going to go back to just separating. That's how I work.
Well, I would avoid that. But anyway, I fell asleep last night on the couch. And when you do that, then you wake up. And you don't know if you've been asleep for 20 minutes or if it's Tuesday all of a sudden. It's like you wake up in Guantanamo Bay. You're like, how did I get here? What am I doing here? It's your own living room. It's your couch.
Yeah.
That's your comfort zone. But that happened to me last night. So I had to go back and I was watching it and Showtime showed up. And clearly the Hawks continued to survive, I guess. I mean, that was a big win for them last night. So anyway, we're going to continue to talk about the NHL playoffs. We'll tee up the games tonight. John Cooper will join us here in a moment. Cooper and the Lightning are on to the second round, so they wait to see what's going to happen with the Islanders and the Panthers. But we should point something out here. We've got some breaking news here in terms of the Blue Jays.
That's what I was just pointing to O-Dog here.
Yeah. Let me read this thing quickly before John Cooper joins us, and we'll get into it later in the hour. The Office of the Commissioner of Baseball announced today that Toronto Blue Jays first baseman Chris Colabello has received an 80-game suspension without pay after testing positive for, I'm not even going to attempt to read that drug, a performance-enhancing substance in violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. That is a big hit. Colabello, who has not had a great start to the year, but is their starting first baseman,
yeah.
And him and Justin Smoke clearly go back and forth. 80 games, so that's half the season.
No pay.
See you later. And this is a guy who was not even on the team to kick off the season last year. He has not been around the league much. This is a guy who has not made a ton of money throughout his career. And
that's a kick in the junk.
He's gone for 80 games. Chris Colabello. That is a big hit to the Jays and clearly a big hit to him, too.
I'll never understand it. There's been a couple guys in the NHL this year. Do you honestly think you're going to beat the system?
Well,
I'll never get it.
Try and read that drug he was taking, dehydrochlomethotestosterone. So if somehow somebody says to you, you know what,
I got something for you. Well, that's what it is, Jamie. It's some doctor, it's some trainer, it's somebody saying, this will slide through the cracks, don't worry about this.
Not a chance.
Well, and he had a career year last year, and immediately you wonder, was he on it last year? And is that why all of a sudden he became a regular major leaguer?
Probably.
This was a fringe major leaguer that had a career year out of left field, and you have to believe he's been doing it. And that's why he got there.
That stinks, because he seems like a good guy, right?
A very good guy. We've interviewed him multiple times. One of our favorite guests from the Jays. Jovial guy, fun guy, will goof on himself and other people. Anyway, we'll continue with that conversation a little bit later in the hour.
Speaking of good guys.
Very good guy, and a guy that I'm sure is very happy right now, and a guy that might be rooting for both the Panthers and the Islanders somehow, because you got to think the Lightning are hoping this series goes 7, right?
You want them to beat the hell out of each other so you have a better chance.
Let's bring in the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Here is John Cooper. Is that true, John? You're rooting both for the Islanders and the Panthers somehow?
Well, kind of hoping that this is like a best of 11.
Right.
No, it's I guess in the end, if that series goes 7, believe me, we won't be shedding any tears. But on our side of things, we're just happy we didn't have to go back to Detroit and get on a plane and stay in another hotel for a couple of days. And we need the rest, and we were very fortunate to be able to close it out last night.
Did you play the good guy coach with the days off for the guys after that win last night? Like 2 or 3, stay away from the rink?
No question. And actually, partially for that reason is you want to give your staff a break too, because they've been grinding it out, preparing for the playoffs. But ultimately, we had a little bit of a flu bug is whipping through the team. And if you saw Tyler Johnson last night, he had to keep leaving the game. Because he was sick, and it's anytime stuff like that happens, you want to make sure everybody's away and kind of get that all out of your system and get a little rest and come back around too.
Strawman's a massive loss, Coach. Was it by committee replacing him, or was there one guy in particular on that back end that really stood up and had a great series against Detroit?
Well, you remiss not to say that was Hedman. Last night's game, I kind of push that one aside, as we were collectively, 19 of the guys were probably having a little bit of an off night. Fortunately for us, our goalie was having an on night and kind of saved that game for us. But Hedman's been the man, and I think one of the games he played 30 minutes, and he's been up there north of 25 every single game. And the more we can get him on the ice, you know, we don't like to do it all the time and make a habit of playing them 30, but when you lose the likes of a Strawman, somebody's got to pick it up, and Teddy's been our guy.
Well, and not to mention your captain, Steven Stamkos, not available either, and you pair those two together. There were a lot of doubters out there, John, myself included. I think all of us sat there and said, how will Tampa overcome the absence of Stamkos and Strowman? And you guys didn't overcome it. I mean, you won the series in five. As a coach, when you hear that news going into the playoffs that Stamkos won't be available, Strowman won't be available, how do you overcome those concerns and get yourself into a mental state that will allow yourself to have success?
Well, you know how the old adage is, when if you lose, it's all on the players, and if you win, it's all coaching. So that's kind of what we were but no, in all seriousness, I think we've had a little experience with this before, and the one thing about Strawman, when it happened, you know, we watched him break his leg, and it was tough to watch, but I guess it was something that, you know, you saw, you kind of digest, and but you're hoping that's the end. But with Stammer, that was something that just came way out of left field. Like, there was no preparation for it. Never thought anything like that would happen. And, you know, he's all of a sudden not feeling right after a home loss to Montreal, and you know, we get him all checked out and find out the condition he had. And that one, you know, I think I said it before, is like a punch in the gut. And everybody knows how important Steven Stamkos has been to our team and our franchise, and we're not in the playoffs without him. But then you got to sit back and say, well, okay, you know, we went through this a couple of years ago when Stammer missed 45 games, and we've lost Hedman for, you know, multiple weeks, 1 year, and we've just kind of weathered these storms. And but to lose those two guys, it's been tough, and for us that fortunately, you know, ride the hot goaltending of Ben Bishop and get through this, I got to really tip our hat to our guys, because you know, the likes of the Johnsons and Kucherovs and the Killorns and Callahans, and you go through the list of the Drouins who have stepped up and kind of consumed Stamkos's ice time and lifted us, pushed us over the top, has been unreal.
We're chatting with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, John Cooper. The Lightning wrapped up their series against Detroit last night. They're off to the second round, awaiting the outcome of the Islanders-Panthers series. You mentioned Jonathan Drouin, and man, he looked good. He looked very good through five games. What have you seen in his game over the past five games that maybe you weren't seeing earlier in the season?
The biggest things for me are patience and confidence. And I think when he, you know, left our team, and he did what he felt was right. And to be honest, you know, people can debate right or wrong what happened, but you know, the kid stood his ground, and you got to compliment them that. Whether, as I said, decision was right or wrong, but you know, he went back and went to the minors and knew that, you know, there was a potential he wasn't even going to get his way back here, because it wasn't going to be a gratuitous call up. But he goes down there, works his tail off. The coaches raved about him. He was really concentrating on playing the all 200 feet of the game at the ice. And he goes out, he was basically scoring a goal a game. And we told Jonathan, you earn it, you're coming back. And he definitely earned it. And now if you look at him on the bench, and he's really engaged, he's talking, he's just doing a lot of things he never did before. And it's kind of a learning process, and he's earned everything he's getting. He deserved his ice time. And, you know, you look at this series, all these games were really, really tight. And you can look at that big win on the road in game four. He was dynamic on the power play and basically won that game for us.
I agree. I thought he was outstanding. And I didn't think he had that physicality in him, but he seemed to be engaged in almost every shift that he's been on in the playoffs, which is pretty impressive, like you say, considering what's been going on. But he's been outstanding. I actually wanted to talk about your preparation heading into the playoffs and even into a playoff round where you're coaching against a close friend. And we all know you have a relationship with Jeff Blashill. And, you know, how do you separate that heading into the series? Do you guys have a conversation and say, we'll talk to you after? Or, you know, is it something that's an ongoing process that you have to work through?
Well, we do. He's, you know, we've kind of come up the ranks. He was in the college ranks, and I was kind of going through juniors, so he'd be recruiting players I was with, and we just became friends, and you know, our families are friends, our wives are friends, and it's just one of those, you know, relationships that he's a heck of a guy, and he's a really, really good coach. He's another one, too, that kind of took a leap of faith. He was in the college ranks for a long time and gave up a really stable job with a great program in Miami to go and coach in the USHL, his first head coaching job, and all he did was win there, and then he went became a head coach in college and won there, and then took another leap of faith when he went and became an assistant in Detroit, and he's kind of just found his way and done a lot of winning, and he's a super, super guy. It's just tough when you want to win so badly, and in the end, you know that, you know, a good buddy of yours that's finding his way in the NHL, or whether it was going to be me, one of us is going to be out, and so we spoke, you know, before game one. We went out to dinner together the night before the series started, but that was the last time we spoke with him until the handshake line. And I think when the series starts, that's it. You know, friendship goes aside. You're trying to win your games, but ultimately your friendship's not getting ruined because of this. And he's got a great future in this league, and I'm really happy for, you know, especially the pressure of trying to get the team back in the playoffs, and he did it, and I was really happy for him.
Well, congrats on a great first round, and best of luck going on throughout the playoffs. And we always appreciate you taking time. Thank you for doing this, John.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, John Cooper, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, hoping for an 11-game series between the Islanders and the Panthers.
I'll tell you what, Stamkos hurt, Stroman hurt. It's an ideal situation. Get it done early and let guys rest and get a break and fire it back up.
Well, and Johnson was a question mark going into the playoffs the night before.
I'm sure 60% of the guys are question marks.
Well, you're right. Everyone's banged up, but that's great if you can finish it off in five and get, like you say, you know, you look at the players and say, we'll see in 3 days. Let these guys rest and heal and just get their minds.
Well,
and
when's
bodies
the earliest the next
it.
Round would start?
I think it's next Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, I believe, because Wednesday would be game sevens.
So their series ended last night. I would say I don't want to see you guys at the rink until Monday.
Yeah, that's fair. Monday,
like, you can't,
Wednesday,
you
Tuesday,
can't.
Thursday.
Guys
yeah.
are smart enough to get, you want to take off on a plane for a couple days, do whatever. Don't be too stupid. Get some workouts in and get a break, and away we go on Monday.
Yeah, you monitor. Yeah, and guys, at this point of the year, guys aren't dummies. Like, they're not going to be, you know, hitting Vegas or booze bags all night. It's more just about getting your mind away, have a little relaxation.
I would say that was the most impressive first round of any team in the playoffs because of who wasn't playing.
Correct.
Like, I can't believe they won in five. Like, I really can't.
Neither,
like,
man.
Without Stroman and Stamkos,
I thought they were in serious trouble of even winning the series, period.
I thought coin flip at best they were going to get past Detroit. And if it was going to happen, I would have picked in seven. And for them to roll through in five and look very good in doing so, a couple games absolutely dominating.
Yeah.
Very impressive work by Cooper and company. And if Stroman and Stamkos can return and get close to 100%, they may become a team that Washington has to make sure they don't look past, if we all believe the Caps are getting to the conference final.
I wouldn't. Yeah, that's the thing. You can't sleep on anybody in the play. We're sitting here sleeping on we're sleeping on St. Louis. We're sleeping on
Well,
Nashville,
how about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh?
Like, Pittsburgh just dominating the Rangers, embarrassing
Rangers
them.
Suck, man. They look awful.
But Pittsburgh looks very good, right? Yeah. Like, it's a two-way street there. Yeah, the Rangers are not doing themselves any favors, but you got to give it up to Pitt. And all of a sudden, they're healthy, Marc-Andre Fleury notwithstanding, and they're starting to roll here. The big news in the city right now is Chris Colabello has been suspended for 80 games by Major League Baseball, and he got caught using a PED. And Rick Westhead, get a load of this tweet, all right? This is when you know you can't claim ignorance. You can't claim you went into a GNC and accidentally took something that you weren't certain was on the list of PEDs. Rick Westhead is reporting that the drug he tested positive for was developed by East German scientists. If you're going to East Germany, which doesn't exist anymore and hasn't for 25 years, to get your PEDs, you know exactly what you're doing.
Dude, that's Lance Armstrong. Like, wasn't he like, after his race was over, he'd get on a private jet, fly to another country, do his business, and then back on the bird and back to the race?
Yeah,
that's scary stuff.
It's known as Turinabol Hubei sold via many online stores, $28 for 50 pills.
It all comes down to pressure points, man. You said he was a fringe major league player, and if you're looking for an advantage to stick around in the big leagues, you'll somehow talk yourself into doing anything.
And you know what? In a way, I don't even blame him. Like, if I was in his shoes, if you propositioned me and said, if you take this, you're going to have a career year and you're going to be a major leaguer, yeah, or you go back to AAA.
No kidding.
I think I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Like, I know that the moral police won't want to hear that,
right,
but I think it's just a reality. Like, we focus on Bonds and McGuire and Clemens. Those guys had $100 million cash in the bank anyway. We're already going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Those guys didn't really need it. Yeah, they got a bit of a boost, clearly, but they didn't really need it to prove who they were and to get those paychecks.
This is a livelihood decision.
This is more of a livelihood decision, and he can't come out and claim ignorance here.
Dude, he's going to say, I had an injury, and this my sciatic had a trainer. Well, said,
but is this isn't where it was in the inhaler.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, he's not going to say, I went into a Popeyes and it was a powder I took. I didn't even know. I can't believe. Like, no, dude, you're going to East Germany, which doesn't exist anymore. Like, you're on a German website.
It's developed by East German scientists.
Right, back in the day.
Franz and Franz in the summer.
That's the thing.
We're going to pop. You are.
Chris Colabello loves Oktoberfest more than anybody else on planet Earth.
He wore the gray sweater and the gray track pants. We're going to pop you up.
Yeah, we got to get that sound.
Yeah. He's taking these drugs out of the big boot. He's got the big boot. That's how he's taking them.
Wow.
I'm telling you, though.
It sucks. I mean.
Hey, listen, I feel for him because he's a great guy, but at the same time.
Face the music, man.
And he did it, right? Like, I hope he doesn't come out and say, I misremember what. I hope he doesn't go Clemens or Rafael Palmeiro or McGuire.
Misremembered.
Like, don't give me the misremembered garbage. And apparently, he called a team meeting, and he was the only one that spoke. So he must have stepped up and said, guys, they got me. I took something. But 3 or 4 years ago, this guy was in a league you've never heard of before.
Right.
And he got claimed off waivers last year by the Jays, and he had 15 home runs, an OPS of .886. He had a career year, and he's been awful this year, absolutely horrendous at the plate. He's got like a 69 batting average.
Right.
And it makes you wonder if, you know, maybe he was getting worried he was going to get caught. Maybe the test was in and they were developing the test. What kind of mental state this guy's been in all season?
Well, he has released a statement. We'll have to read it. We'll go through it in the break and pull some things from it.
I always wonder when an athlete gets caught with something like this, how they return if and when they do, because of the embarrassment factor. And you know that everyone's talking about you and the spotlight's on you and you got caught, and obviously you're going to come back and not be on it. I just always wonder about the performance if and when they do return.
Well, all right. You know what? Let me just read this.
Yeah,
because
read the statement.
He's going down the Clemens path. He said, on March 13th, this is Chris Colabello, who just sent out a statement. On March 13th, I got one of the scariest and most definitely the least expected phone calls of my entire life. I was informed by the Players Association that a banned substance was found in my urine. I have spent every waking moment since that day trying to find an answer as to why or how.
Is that
Roger Clemens said?
Well, no, he went I misremembered. This guy, so Colabello's claiming that he didn't do it on purpose here. Let me continue.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is that I would never compromise the integrity of the game of baseball. I love this game too much. I care too deeply about it. I am saddened more for the impact this will have on my teammates, the organization, and the fans of the Blue Jays. I hope that before anyone passes judgment on me, they can take a look at the man that I am and everything that I have done to get where I am in my career, end quote. Well, listen, Chris, I don't think anyone's going to grant you that testimony.
That's fine and dandy, the statement and everything, but how the hell did you go about getting this substance? And
that was developed by East German scientists.
Franz.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know, man. I think he's doing himself a disservice here, because you talk to the guys who try to fight and fight and fight. Talk to Lance Armstrong about it. Talk to Bonds about it. Talk to McGuire about it. It never works. No one ever over time starts to believe you.
You know what it worked for? It worked for Jason Giambi, who came out right away and said, you know what? I did it. I'm sorry. And people moved on from
that.
They never
Andy
talked.
Pettit.
This guy's known since why does it take this long?
Well, because obviously the Players Association was fighting against it, or I'll bet you there was an appeal process or something happened.
Right. So March 13th, this guy, you wonder why he's had a slow start. He's either off the sauce, right? Goes off of it immediately. or he's rattled about it mentally, or a combination of both.
Right.
That's, you know, either way, that's, you know, it's not a, it doesn't set up very well for him.
No, and this is it. I mean, you mentioned Giambi. It's a great example. Andy Pettit did the same thing. Hey, you got me. I did it. And guess what? People
it disappeared,
forgot.
Man.
It disappeared.
You know why?
People were cheering for you the rest of your career.
You know why? Because you disarm people with the truth. If you go right at it and say, you know what? I messed up. I mean, Andrew Shaw messed up, what, 3 days ago? Was it 3 days ago that it was the story of the century?
Right.
The moral outrage? Like, the next day he came out, seemed to be genuine, very upset about it. Hopefully everyone learns from it, and you move on. Like, that's, the minute that you start trying to drag it out, it becomes a bigger story because people are going to go, hold on a second here. We're going to catch you lying. We're going to catch you, you know.
What was Braun's approach on this when he was busted? He denied it and then he admitted it. Is that what happened?
And he took people down with him. It was one of the most gutless, ridiculous,
really
off-putting processes.
This guy was the MVP of the National League.
Well, he claimed that the person that, yeah, he was, and Ryan Braun is still a great player, but he claimed the person that was testing the urine was anti-Semitic. And that's why he was clipped the way he was.
So he went down the race card.
He went down that road, absolutely, and he dragged that guy into it.
Jeez.
And then in the end, he goes, yeah, okay, you got me. Like, it was just absolutely ruthless on his end. And I don't know what Colabello's going to do here, and we'll see where he goes. But I wish these guys would just say, you caught me. You know. Yes. But now Colabello is probably fearful that people are going to say, okay, the guy we saw a year ago is not the real Colabello, so why would the Blue Jays continue to even play him?
Right.
So now maybe what he's thinking, and again, I'm jumping into his mind here, is I've got to get out in front of this and say, no, I'm 100% legit. I don't know how this happened, but I don't think anyone's going to buy that story. And long story short, Chris Colabello suspended for 80 games. And that's a big hit because, again, he had a great year last year. And he was a fan favorite. This was a guy who came out of nowhere. He's been on this show multiple times, a fun guest, a good guy, and he's going to have to bite the bullet here.
Did they change it from the first offense being 50? I thought it was 50.
Yeah, we'd have to look into that. I was wondering that myself, too. I thought it was 50, then 150, and then, like, you're gone,
how did they
basically
get to 80? So there, maybe it's something where...
It may be the type of drug. We'll delve more into this throughout the afternoon. We're going to catch up with Scotty Mack, see what he has to say about it. Steve Phillips will join us in about an hour. So we'll touch on this extensively throughout the hour. Chris Colabello suspended for 80 games for the use of a PED. He has come out and he's released a statement, and he doesn't know how. He doesn't know why. Saying he'd never do it on purpose.
Pump you up.
And we got to play some of those clips,
oh,
too.
Oh, for sure.
That's coming up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
Once again, I am Hans.
Yeah, I am Franz, and we are here to pump you up.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
All right, so Chris Colabello has been suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball for the usage of a PED. He has released a statement. Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, has released a statement. We'll tell you more about that in about 2 minutes. All right, so John Gibbons just spoke with the media. We'll let you hear that at some point here this hour. Chris Colabello has been suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball.
I'm with you, man. If you don't have some kind of infection where you put some kind of ointment on you, you had no idea, don't come out and just say you had no idea and the nonsense in that little speech he had. It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
Well, he's had a long time to decide which road he wants to go down, right? Yeah. Like, he tested positive on March 13th. That's when he got the call, at least, from the Players Association, and they said, listen, Major League Baseball tested you. They found this PED. My guess would be the reason we haven't heard about it since is there was probably an appeal process or more testing. Something else came with it. And now, for whatever reason, today is the day it is released. You'll notice in the statement he doesn't say, I'm going to continue to fight against this or appeal. So I guess he realizes this is it. I'm going to leave now for 80 games. And we were mentioning in the previous segment why it's 80 games and not 50. A couple of years ago, they went from 50 to 100 to the boot. Now it's 80 to a full year to the boot. So if you test one, two, or three times, this is the penalty that comes with it. But Rick Westhead reporting that it's a drug that was developed by East German scientists. So, I mean, that says something right there in terms of how shady this thing may have been. But he's coming out and claiming ignorance and saying in the statement he doesn't know how or why it got in there, which, again, I don't think anyone's going to give him the benefit of the doubt, even though he is a good guy and it's a great story.
Yeah.
You want to believe that ignorance played a part, but I find that hard to believe. I think we all do. I don't think anyone's going to be naive enough. And Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, just sent out this statement stating, quote, "This is obviously an unfortunate situation that we are in with Chris. We believe in him as a person and player. We also fully endorse the Major League Baseball drug testing policy. Chris has overcome a great deal in his career and has been a key contributor to this team. While we're certainly disappointed with today's news, we're confident he'll return ready to compete and will have taken the steps needed to ensure that this does not happen again," end quote. So, again, he's saying, hey, it is what it is. He's gone for 80 games. Colabello has been terrible so far this year. It makes you wonder where his head has been at throughout spring training. And
you have this laying over top of your head.
You know it's coming at some point.
Yeah.
You're going to have to walk the plank and basically.
And you talked about his struggles. How are you supposed to go and do your job every day knowing when this is going on in the background? It's all a mental game, man.
You guys ever play with anyone that had anything like this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the vibe like?
I mean, yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Know
if you
could see.
It's an awkward
You couldn't see it. Yeah, it's a bit awkward. You're trying
to
support.
What do you go up and pat the guy in the back and say, oh, that's a tough one, man? Like,
well, yeah, this would. Yeah, it was a bit awkward. But it's you have to. If you knew the guy was doing it, like I didn't, but I mean, it's. I wasn't really schooled on the type of stuff that was going on. Like this, you know, I've never heard of drugs like this. You hear of like.
Me or him trying to track down this from an East German person?
Well, first of all, there aren't East German people anymore.
Yeah, but you could just find
it's
it
just
online.
German
I believe
okay,
Rick
German.
Westhead just said on his.
That actually, I would love.
But why
to see
the hell
it.
Did you say that? It's from East Germany.
Because that's how old it and long it goes.
That's
back.
What I'm saying.
It
here,
was developed by scientists like 40 years ago.
That is something I'd like to see. Actually, you guys try to find an East German
yeah,
to buy
East
these
German
drugs from.
Kicking around here.
Head over to Berlin and.
How do I
like,
get to East Germany to see Hans as a tourist? That's my question.
Right.
No, but it is awkward because, but it's like anything. If you have a teammate that makes a mistake and, you know, gets a, has a an issue off the ice, you're not going to not be friends with them. If they people make mistakes, that's what life is all about. And you know, that's where, you know, Ross Atkins, I looked and he lost me when he said unfortunate because I was saying, is that just what the word that is used by general managers here in Toronto?
Well, he's toeing the line because he's not going to throw it. Major I'm League struggling. Baseball under the bus because he can't do that. And he's got to be careful because Colabello, in a way, is lucky that this is happening early into the season because he can return by August or whatever it's going to be, and maybe have an impact on the stretch run and maybe get his career back on track because he's not making a ton of money, relatively speaking.
I mean, that type of money, I think is reported just over 500 grand. Like it's amazing to see the different comparisons of what guys are making. You know, Joey Bats wants, what, 20 million a year?
More than that. He wants 30 million.
Okay, so 30 million a year, and you got a guy making five and change.
Well, now he's making 250 grand and change because it's 80 games without pay.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Chris Colabello goes from being a guy who's not getting paid that much anyway in terms of baseball money to having it cut in half.
Yeah.
But it gets back to the bigger topic of discussion. Would he have been making 80 grand if he didn't take it?
Right.
In other words, if he wasn't taking this stuff, would he even be in the major leagues?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, that's always what got overlooked when late 90s, early 2000s, of course we focused on the superstars, them taking it.
Right.
But there were a ton of guys who were in AAA taking it too, just trying to get there.
Yeah, get to that next level.
They were taking it based on survival. Like, that's the way I go from making 80 grand a year to 800 grand a year.
Yeah.
And there was all kinds of guys that like, wasn't Brady Anderson center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles? He hit like 50 dingers one year.
He did,
and it was a spike. Like what? Brett Boone too, for Seattle.
Dude, there were so
there were
many
guys hitting homers that were just ridiculous.
Half the league was testing positive. Like you go back to the Mitchell report, everyone was taking it.
Yeah,
got like backup,
but
third base.
But basically,
like everyone.
If you weren't taking it, you couldn't keep up. Like I told you, you know, Dr. No Sleeves there in Russia was handing out vitamins left and right, and my legs were sore, and he gave me the vitamins. The one day I felt like I could skate for 12 hours straight. No idea what the hell they were.
Left your car at the rink and ran home?
Yeah, like literally. Like you never know these types of things. And that's what's scary. What is the health, you know, ramifications? Not even just the business ramifications.
Well,
this stuff can mess with your body and your heart and stuff.
It can, but that also gets back to what you said, Noodles, that just because a player or a teammate is doing this doesn't mean you're going to stop being friends with him.
No, not at all.
Because Chris Colabella is only doing it to himself.
Right.
Right. He's not hurting other people directly. I mean, I guess indirectly, him taking himself off the team, he's hurting the team, quote unquote.
Right.
But he's not forcing these drugs on children.
Sliding it into Joey Batts's shake when
exactly.
Nobody's looking.
This is all self-inflicted. He has decided to do this.
It was his choice, and he has to pay the piper. So I'm not as upset as you are, Brian, with his statement, but I would like more clarity.
Like, well, I just want honesty. I don't buy this. Again, there are times where I do believe players lose sight of what is legal and what is illegal.
I don't.
And, well, that's on them, though. They're supposed to know what's on the cannot take
list. Exactly. That's your livelihood and that's your profession. Anything going into your body, you have to say, I need to know, and you need to call my team doctor or whoever's in charge to say, is this allowed to go into my body? Because if you don't do that, you're stupid, A, or B, you're doing it on purpose to gain an advantage.
You're right, but you look at the Olympics and how extensive their list of drugs are.
You can't take a Sudafed. Yeah, Advil, cold, and sinus because it has, you know, something in it that would be illegal.
And that's what I'm saying. Remember Nicholas Backstrom got hit with that because he had the flu or whatever and he took an Advil.
Antihistamine
and
or something, yeah.
That's the kind of stuff where I understand the players are like, okay, wait a minute. What? I didn't know I couldn't take Advil.
Yeah.
I'll grant you that. When it is a drug
from East Germany
that was created by East German scientists.
You just love that.
I can't get enough of that detail. You can't claim that's not something like at McDonald's. You're like, give me a Big Mac,
you are
large
sourcing
fries.
That out and you're searching it out.
You're absolutely you are. Yeah. So him coming out and saying, you know, I can't believe it. How? Why? I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. No. And I'm naturally cynical when it comes to baseball players because they've done this to themselves and their own reputation.
Fair.
Because so many of them have been taking this stuff forever.
Yeah.
So I'm naturally going to go in and say guilty until proven innocent. And if you're going down for the count, clearly baseball's saying the same thing.
Well, and you're right. As a team, you want to support your player, but you also have to separate and say, we respect what the league has done here and the drug policy. Like, I don't think there's any denying it. That's the thing. You're not going to deny it. It's happened.
I think he's done himself a disservice with this. I think if he came out and said, guys, this is what happened. I took it because I hurt my arm last year, and I wish I hadn't, but I'm going to bite the bullet, serve my time, and come back with integrity and come back and do what I'm capable of doing. I think people today may not be giving him a standing ovation, but they might say, you know what, I appreciate
Throw
that.
Throw some respect for
I understand
owning
that.
It.
You owned it. And he's trying to go with the, I don't know, well, I can't believe, and that kind of stuff never works in the end.
You're right.
Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. Steve Phillips at 5:30. We'll get Steve's thoughts on this as well. Future headlines in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
Yes, it is. The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
Two goaltenders for me, Matt Murray, Ben Bishop. Both of them got it done last night, and Ben Bishop cleaned out a series, and Matt Murray looks good in Pittsburgh.
Patty Kane, ooh, overtime winner, grit grinded or behind the net, stuffs it in. Showtime is back, temporarily or full time.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yes,
we'll discuss
guy, no
that.
Guy, full time?
I'll say yes, guy.
Yes, guy.
I love the celebration, too. He was on fire last night.
Yeah.
I want to go the whole Raptors team, the whole roster. They were brilliant last night. Fundamentals 101. They were up by double digits all night. That's what a two seed is supposed to look like on the road. DeMar had a good night. Kyle had a great night. Damari Carroll played 35 minutes. First time he's done that in a long time. That is big and very needed. Loved the Raptors last night. I think they roll now. They have to be feeling confident. The 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. Built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology, Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans are the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Ray Ferraro and Steve Phillips at 5:30 were tracking the Chris Colabello suspension. He's done for 80 games testing positive for a PED. We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.